Good evening, or in Kinyarrawandan, Miriwe Neza, which just means good evening. You've done very well to get to this far, and as we move to the next section of Africa, we're stuck. Why are we stuck, Becky? There we go. So if you've got very good eyesight, and I haven't, then you'll be able to find Rwanda in there. Otherwise, just look for the arrow. Who can tell me the capital of Rwanda? Ah, well done, Tamora. Kigali, yes. And the population, 11.2 million. The land size, 26,000 square kilometres. That's about the distance from Wollongong to Newcastle and then across to Katoomba. So quite small, really. And it's the 20th most poorest country in the world. The way they measure the purchasing power, that PPP there is purchasing power parity. It's a way of comparing different countries. So $2,090 per capita, that's per person per year, purchasing power. Australia has $52,191 per person per year, just to give you a comparison. 1.1 million people there in the population. Kigali, where I was located, is in the middle of the country for obvious reasons. You don't put a capital near the border in Africa because it causes problems. And so it's been moved into the middle for safety and security reasons. So the main job that we've been doing over the last 4 years is training pastors. And there is a great need for theological training in Rwanda. There is much aid that is poured into Rwanda through the US, through the UK, but there is very little theological training. So far, 80 students have been trained in the level one PTC subjects that we've been doing. And in the most recent trip that I went on with the rest of the team, we had 24 students. Now, those numbers were down significantly. Mainly because it was non-residential this time. Previous years and previous subjects have all been residential with, and it's just too difficult for the rural students to get there. For some, it would mean a six-hour bus trip. For others, jumping on the back of a motorbike and still taking maybe 4 or 5 hours to get there is really unrealistic to travel each day. Hence the smaller numbers. This is where we study each day. The students they're about to sit their exam there. Our lessons each day. A typical day would start with devotions, and they would be at 7 o'clock in the morning with the African evangelistic staff. And then that would go till about from 7 till 8. Then we have time to set up for teaching, and classes would start at 8:30. They go through to morning tea. Then we enjoy morning tea in the gazebo there. And then lunch kicks in around about 1 o'clock, and people will go, if you wanted them to, they'd go all afternoon. But we then come back for discussion groups after that. So that's a typical day. Our kitchen staff who look after us there, terrific bunch of people. These ladies, the lady on the left, of course, is Vicky Norman. That's Jack, who I went with, his wife. And the lady on the right, some of you may be familiar with Gladys, and I've talked about her a little bit in previous visits. I'll tell you a little bit more about her shortly. The lady in the middle with the orange band around her neck is one of the AEE staff, and her name is Bera, and she has just been an amazing student, has had a lot of family struggles over the last 2 years, both her mother and her mother-in-law. Were very sick, and then her father and her father-in-law also And subsequently, three of those family members have died, and two of them died during the course last year. So Vera still managed to study, do her full-time responsibilities at AEE, and cope with all of the family struggles. Incredible lady. Woman in the middle there with the yellow, Josephine, you'd always have to allow an extra 10 minutes, and she wouldn't mind me saying this, during the teaching sessions for questions, and Josephine would always have as many questions as you would give time to. Good understanding of the Bible, and always wanting to learn more and more. I just want to share with you about a couple of the students. Thaddeus, he is a GBU staff worker, equivalent to AFES here in Sydney. And Thaddeus also is getting married this year in December. And he doesn't have to get 15 cows, but he does have to get at least one before December, a bit like that down payment. And both he and his wife, all of their parents were killed in the genocide. So, they too were asking questions about marriage and about, you know, responsibilities and so forth. And Thaddeus is a real encouragement. He writes this. He says, "I am so privileged to be part of this training. From what I have learnt in the book of Acts, I was so encouraged to see how God fulfilled his promise of salvation to all nations as the gospel was preached by Jesus' followers. Throughout the whole book of Acts, it impacted and increased my faith in God's mission to all people. With what I have learned, I was equipped and motivated to share the gospel with university students and mentor them to do the same." He has a phenomenal ministry in the university, along with six other GBU students who were also on the course. And he said, "This is the only theological training I'm getting to be able to teach these students." Mary, who was one of the liaison managers at the guest house where we stayed with AEE, and also a pastor, she was part of the course. And then Gladys, who previously was one of the AEE staff, is now a pastor along with her husband. And she says this about the training. "The training is very useful to me as it is encouraging me to read the Bible more and more. It is helping me to understand the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to deeply appreciate the free gift of salvation that I have received through Jesus. It has created within me a sense of urgency to preach the gospel. As a result, I'm able to teach Christians with increased confidence, hence equipping faithful men and women who will pass it on to other faithful people." This is the teaching team. On the left there, you'll see Stephen and Marion Gabbett. Stephen's a retired Anglican minister. They currently live in Kiama. And then Jack and Vicky Norman, and they live in Sutherland. The church that we went to when we were in Kigali is in a suburb called Kabiza, and the English service comprises about 400 people, and the Rwandan service around about 1,000. They're currently building a new church. They've outgrown their current church, and the song that is actually up on the screen there for them, "When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced." And the next verse is, "When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will jump like David jumped. And finally, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will pray like David prayed." And you can imagine 400 people dancing and jumping and, I didn't jump, but I sort of moved around vaguely in my awkward Australian way. There you go. The other arm of our African evangelistic enterprise is self-help groups. These are groups comprising, usually working with the women, The men tend to be less reliable in these groups because they get called out to the rural areas and they can be away for from a week to a month to sometimes 6 months. And a lot of them also have problems with alcohol and drugs, and so can also be very unreliable in that regard. The women that AEE work with, they're a group of about 20 women. They have to pay a membership fee to show buy-in ownership, and that comprises of 1,000 Rwandan francs. That's about $1.50 Australian. And they also make a weekly contribution for emergency contingencies, like if one of the children gets sick or needs to be vaccinated against something, then they make a contribution of 100 francs. That's about 15 cents a week. This particular group is learning how to buy and sell produce. And this next lady, Claudine, has managed to save up enough money to have her own stall there to support her family. She's currently living with HIV/AIDS, and she was previously involved in prostitution. When she met the Lord, it changed her life completely. This is another self-help group. The lady in the middle there, wearing the white jacket without the headscarf, her name's Cecilia, and she leads a group that is learning how to sustain a kitchen garden and to have enough food to be self-sufficient. And they have a small business that they've just started, which is renting out chairs. You'll see the white chairs there. They actually rent those out to people. They've got 20 of them. We'd probably go to Bunnings and maybe pay $50 for the lot. But for them, this is their source of income, and they'll rent them out to people to have various meetings. And the other aspect that AEE have got involved in is sourcing out apprenticeships for people. And one of the young men that we met, Eric, has been in an apprenticeship for mechanical engineering. And he's currently replacing a steering rack in a car. If you have no idea about steering racks, cars in Africa driving over dirt roads get absolutely belted around, so he's never short of any work. You may, if you've got good eyes, recognise the Connell's Point insignia there. I know there's a lot of Forest Rangers supporters here. Hands up if you're a Forest Rangers supporter. I hear you had a victory yesterday. When we were talking this morning, Damien Hennessy said to me, Lugano needs to pick up their act and support with some shirts and shorts. And I said to him, well, Connell's Point supporting two countries in Africa in soccer terms, that would be 2-0 at the moment. So there we go. Connell's Point graciously supplied enough shirts and shorts for two teams. And AEE is having an outreach to the small Muslim area in Rwanda in July. And they're running a soccer tournament for the children. So all of those soccer uniforms will be handed out to them. That's our students this year. And a great time of celebration. Question is, where to from here? A number of important factors have changed since last year, the first one being government legislation. And within Rwanda now, if you are to be a pastor, you need to have theological training, otherwise they will shut the church down. And they've done that a number of times. And that is encouraging at one level, it's difficult at another, because most of the pastors don't have theological training. And the work that we've been doing in partnership with Moore College and AEE, the 80 students that have so far completed the level one subjects have received accreditation with the government. We are hoping to continue, obviously, with these level two and ultimately to give them a certificate in theology. But that's still a way down the track. There's 18 subjects to actually get to that point. The big challenge has been residential or non-residential, and up until now, this whole ministry has been funded by one donor, and that donor basically paid for the students to be in residential accommodation. This last two subjects that we did that we've just gone to was non-residential, and it cost $5,000 to train these 24 students. To do it residential is $200 per subject. That will cover all of their food, their accommodation, all of their teaching materials, and enable them to be there for the entire time that they're studying. And we're hoping that we'll be able to get back to doing four. We have the capacity to teach 40 students each time, and we're hoping that we can fill that, but we need to get back to that residential status to be able to do that. So that's one of the challenges. The other one is, just to give you an update on the translations, three subjects so far have been translated, and three partway through being translated. There's a total of nine that need to be translated. And one of the big prayer points there, which you'll see at the end, is we need someone who is a native English speaker who is fluent in Kinyarwandan to actually cross-check the translations before they'll be signed off for publication. That's one of the processes involved, and a big prayer point. I just want to share finally about one pastor who I've spoken about before, Quisera Jean Baptiste. Jean Baptiste is part of the translation team. He has so far been part of translating those first three subjects, and he's also translated Just for Starters, some of you may be familiar, from Matthias Media, and also the Christian Living book that Matthias Media has put out. He's translated both of those into Kinyarwandan, and he's already shared them with a number of his people within his church. And he writes this about the theological training, bearing in mind he has had no theological training other than what he is getting through these PTC subjects. I personally thank God for this opportunity to do a level 2 course in PTC. The first level was extremely useful to us, at the extent that it changed almost all my way I used to understand the Word of God. The way I used to preach changed radically, and have noticed changes in different areas of my ministry as a pastor. For instance, the Bible studies that we have are now more clear and productive. Church members are growing in their understanding of the Word of God. The encouragement and empowerment I'm receiving now from these courses will be of great importance to go further in proclaiming faithfully the Word of God. I thank God for every person who is accepting to be used by God so that this powerful training can reach people like us. This last person, Eric, who I didn't have a still shot of him, so that was why that's moving around. Since last year, Eric has married. He now has a two-month-old daughter. He's a pastor of a church with 300 adults and 150 children. And he says the challenge for him is to change the culture, because the culture is that the men have nothing to do with their children, particularly and sadly also the pastors. He says that they spend all of their time in their churches and in their jobs and no time with their children. And he is trying to change this culture by changing the way preaching occurs. And he said that these courses are equipping him to actually teach the Bible systematically, and encouraging particularly the men within the congregations to step up and take responsibility within their families and not be consumed by their work. So that's his challenge. So let me leave you with a couple of prayer points. Firstly, we are so thankful for the students who attended the pastor training, for the subjects that have been translated so far. And also, if you were here on Easter, Good Friday in the morning, then you would have met the newly appointed Archbishop Mbanda. And he is a very faithful Christian man, and looking forward to working more closely with him in coming years. A couple of things to pray for. I mentioned about the need for an English speaker, but also for the GBU staff who are preparing to train and teach 2,000 students in the material that that we've been teaching them. And of course, financial provision to continue these courses. So thank you for your support and prayer, and it's wonderful the ministry that we're hearing is going on in different parts of Africa.